Good morning, church. I want to really welcome you back. This is our third online service, and I trust that the Lord has really been speaking to you in this unique way as we share around His Word. I also want to make use of this opportunity to thank you, the church, for their generosity. We've been raising funds to provide for the needy in our community, especially in this time. There are so many people that are unemployed and we're dependent on daily and weekly wages. So I want to thank you for the generosity. If we can pan the camera, the church and the members of the church have raised more than 92,000 rand to provide food for the poor. Out of a total of 117 rand, most of it came from the church, and I want to really thank the church for their generosity. And so we're going to continue today in God's Word and trust that He also speaks to us as individuals and a church together. Let us just pray together. Father God, we want to thank You for this opportunity we have, knowing where two or three are gathered together, there You are with us. Lord, we bring our nation to You at this time, Lord. We pray for Your supernatural protection, Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we pray that You will grant us the faith and the peace to overcome the fear, but also to be Your hands and feet in this time. Lord, we pray that You will speak to us through Your Word today, that You will come and make it alive by Your Spirit, that You will share more of Yourself and Your heart and Your ways to us, and that we may grow thereby. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon is Peace in a Time of Trouble. And I want to share around this concept. It's so interesting. Jesus, after His resurrection, appears to His disciples for the first time. And I want us just to read this account in John chapter 20 from verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, they were afraid, and in the midst of that, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be to you. Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, and His disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am also sending you." And again, we see this the second time when Jesus appears to His disciples here in verse 26. 8 days later, His disciples were inside again and Thomas with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." And then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And so we see that Jesus spoke about peace often. Here in John 14 from verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world does I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So what is the difference between God's peace and the world's peace? Jesus clearly says that His peace is different to what the world gives. And it's very interesting that the world's peace is dependent on circumstances, whether there's the absence of strife or war or fear or trouble. That is the world's definition of peace. It is based on its circumstances. Now, God's peace is radically different. It's radically different in the sense that it is not based on circumstances. It's based on something else. We read here in John 14, verse 27, from the Amplified Version, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." How powerful is that? You see, God's peace is different. What then is this peace that God speaks of? Now, the Hebrew word for peace, we of course all know, is shalom, which literally means completeness, wholeness, soundness, well-being, tranquility, harmony, and rest. The Greek word for peace is eirenai, which literally is a state of rest, quietness, and calmness, tranquility, and the absence of strife. So powerful what Jesus said, "Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So what then is the difference? The world's peace is based on circumstances, but God's peace is different. God's peace is not based on circumstances. God's peace is based on His presence. It's God's presence with us that gives us peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16 we read, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." You see, His peace is His presence. It is not dependent on the circumstances, but rather on His presence. This presence is not based on experience, but faith in Him. And this faith in Him leads to peace, which is experience. And therefore, we read in Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It's such a powerful verse that we know so well, but it starts off with this powerful statement that repeats itself. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." And what makes it so significant is in the context in which Paul wrote this letter. He was in prison, chained, and yet he explained and he exclamated this fact that we should rejoice in God always, in every circumstance. So interesting, it continues. It says, "Let your gentleness be known to all." Why? Because God is near. God is with you. So interesting, this word gentleness in the Greek literally means gentle, mild, fair, reasonable, moderate, and patient. It is a description of peace and its fruit in the midst of trouble. Despite the fact that Paul was in chains in a prison, he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Let the peace of God fill your life. Let it be evident to all because God is with you." There are three concepts in the rest of this passage. First, we read of speaking to God in prayer, supplication, making our requests known to God, making our circumstances, our trouble, and our fear known to God. And then it says that we must not just speak to God, but very powerfully, we must make our requests known to God with thanksgiving. Now, the powerful thing of thanksgiving is it is putting our requests, our circumstances, in the context of who God is. You see, when we do thanksgiving, we take our focus off our circumstances and our request, and we focus on who God is. We focus on His faithfulness, His character, His promises. We thank God for what He has done for us, for saving us, granting us salvation, cleansing us from our sin and our guilt, and giving us an inheritance for eternity. We thank Him for His faithfulness over the centuries to those who put their trust in Him. And in that context, we do not bring our circumstances as the primary focus, but our faith and our love for God. It puts everything in perspective. And once we put our circumstances in perspective to who God is, His greatness, His power, and His faithfulness, something supernatural happens. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding fills our life, and it guards our heart and our mind. It guards our emotions and our intellect, as we put our focus on Him. It's so powerful. It is not a denial of the reality or the circumstances around us. No, as a matter of fact, it says in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So this is not a call to ignore our circumstances or deny the danger that is out there. Instead, it says we must bring it to God. God says, in your time of trouble, run to me. Do not deny the danger, but come to me. That was what we shared around last week when God says, come to me in your time of trouble, in your time of need, run to me. So this peace is not a denial of the circumstances. It is not a reckless disregard for the danger either. We do not claim Psalm 92 over our lives and ignore social distancing and go and kiss every person just to prove a point. No, that's not what it is either. Remember, when the devil tempted Jesus, he quoted Psalm 91. And Jesus answered so powerfully. We read here in Matthew 4, verse 5 to 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to them, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, what it means is we bring our requests and our circumstances to God, but we do not put our focus on it. We put our focus on God. And when we put our focus on God, it is when the peace of God fills our lives. It is so powerful that through thanksgiving, we put our focus not on what we fear, but in whom we believe. Therefore, Philippians continues from verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, not on what you fear, but in what you believe. Meditate on God's faithfulness and not on that what you fear. And then it continues, whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice. And listen to this, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a deliberate play on words. It starts off by speaking of the peace of God and ends off with the God of peace. And I believe this was very powerfully stated so that we may learn something in it. Sometimes people pursue the peace of God for the sake of the experience of peace and not for the sake of the God of peace. We have a desire to experience peace, but do we have a desire for God? Can we truly have the one without the other? Can we have the peace of God without the God of peace? Did you ever wonder why some people seem to lose their peace so easily when circumstances change around them? I believe it is one of the reasons is because we pursue an experience rather than the source of peace. If you pursue God, a desire to know Him more, the fullness of who He is, you will know Him and His ways, and you will follow Him. That's that beautiful picture of abiding in the shadow of the Almighty that we spoke about last week. It says, these things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. Put them into practice, literally, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, it is not just the believing in God that brings us peace. It is a knowing God, doing what He says, that produces peace in us, that endures. It is the picture of the chicks that remains in the shadow of the Almighty. As He moves, we move with Him. We are close to the hen from which we find our peace, our security, and our safety. The more I know him, understand his love for me, the more I want to be with him and like him, do like him, follow his commandments and imitate him. That is the beginning of Psalm 91. When we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, when we follow him, when we imitate him, when we are close to him. You see, the ways of God, the commandments of God, leads us closer to God. That's the purpose of his word, is to lead us closer to him. So as we obey the word of God, we are closer to God. If we disobey the word of God, we move further and further away from God. And so God calls us to remain close to him. The more I know him, the more I understand his love for me, the more I love him and want to be with him, imitate him, be in his shadow. And that is what I've discovered in my life. The more I do this, the more I follow his word and his example, not am I in his shadow and under his wings, that there is a peace that I have in this place of following him. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding, surpasses all reason, surpasses the circumstances that I'm in, because I am with him and he is with me. It is so powerful to encourage one another with this. And here is my conclusion. If we truly understand and know this, that it is not the peace of God that we pursue, but the God of peace, then you will know and have this peace that surpasses all understanding. It is the peace that David speaks of when he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you with me. I have been following you. You are my shepherd. You are the one that leads me to where there's life. So I know your voice and I follow it. And therefore I have great joy and boldness even in this valley. I will not be afraid, because again, it is not your peace but your presence that gives me great assurance. It is your presence that produces the peace in me that gives me great assurance. And with that, I want to encourage you. And then John 16:33 makes all the more sense than ever before when it says, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world. Because peace is not found in our circumstances, it is found in Jesus. And with his peace, with his presence, I can do all things, face all things, overcome all things, because he that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. I pray that this revelation will grow in each and every heart, and that we will always remain in his shadow, put our faith and trust in him, seeking his presence more than we do our emotions, but seeking his word and his truth, his closeness to us, that we may have the boldness, as the word says, in every situation, knowing that he gives us the strength to overcome all our circumstances. May God bless you as you pursue him with all your heart and mind. Let us pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you, God, that we can come together again in our homes, but with you, with your word, with your spirit. God, I pray that you will come and write your words on our hearts, imprint it in our minds. Lord, grant us to desire, to hunger, to thirst for you and you alone. I thank you, God, that in this place we have peace, we have assurance, and we have your presence. Lord, I pray that this will not just be within us, but Lord, grant us to be witnesses and to give a reason for the hope that we have. It is you in us, so that you may receive all the glory and all the honor for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.